In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You may have heard this slogan already this holiday season. Jesus is the reason for the season. And that's true. Christmas exists because Jesus was born in Bethlehem. You'll hear on the Christmas radio station pop singers singing carols like O Holy Night and Hark the Herald Angels Sing that reference Jesus' birth. Go to the mall or just about anywhere else in town these days and you'll find nativity scenes, whether the places you go to are owned by Christians or not. Jesus is recognized at least having some part in the season, and we know that Christmas exists because of Jesus. But as Lutherans, we do well to ask, what does this mean? Why is his birth worth celebrating? Why does it matter? Well, as we know, Jesus' birth truly is the reason for the season, but as Christians, we know that our salvation is the reason for Jesus' birth. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. The reason for Jesus is your everlasting salvation. And traditionally in the church, all that Jesus has done and continues to do for your salvation has been divided or grouped under three headings: Christ the prophet, Christ the priest, and Christ the king. These are, of course, all Old Testament offices established by God for the sake of his people Israel, offices that are fulfilled when Jesus comes. But in fulfilling these Old Testament offices of prophet, priest, and king, our Lord Jesus doesn't simply continue them, but rather he surpasses them. Indeed, he brings them to a fulfillment. So our Lord testifies in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 12, "Behold, something greater than Jonah the prophet is here. Something greater than the temple, where the priests offered sacrifices, is here. Something greater than Solomon the king is here." Jesus is our great prophet, priest, and king. And he came to save us as our great prophet, priest, and king because of our sin, which left us guilty, lawless, and, as we'll consider tonight, lost in darkness. During his trial before Pontius Pilate, Jesus was asked by the governor, "What is truth?" Still today, many people ask that question. Perhaps people are asking that question more than ever before. Even though we have seemingly infinite access to more knowledge than any other group of people before us in human history, just Google it, look it up on Wikipedia, we are seemingly more ignorant than ever before. And even that which we once considered to be incontrovertible proof, what your eyes could see, pictures to prove it, now questionable with the advancements in AI technology. Today it seems nobody can answer the question, what is truth? But that's not just a problem today. Throughout the ages, mankind has always been searching for what is true, because mankind has always, at least since the fall into sin, found itself in darkness. And the darkness that sin has brought upon the human race is far deeper than mere ignorance of how to perform certain household repairs or knowledge of historical dates and figures or whether or not the picture you see is real. Sin has brought upon us a darkness, ignorance of what is most important, what is most necessary, knowledge of our Creator, the only true God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is of the utmost importance that we know the truth of God. For as we prayed in Psalm 24, "Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false, does not swear deceitfully." Consequences of lifting up your soul to what is false, consequences of the ignorance of sin, the darkness brought on by iniquity, is severe. Far worse than temporal difficulties or embarrassment and shame before your peers, punishment is everlasting death, eternal condemnation in hell. And so the Lord declared, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." But God, our loving Creator, was not willing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. And therefore, in many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. He sent these men to proclaim his truth to his people, that they might repent of their sins and turn to the Lord their God in faith and live. This is what prophets do. They proclaim the truth of God. We often think about that in terms of foretelling the future, and it is true that many times prophets tell what is about to be done by the Lord. But prophets don't simply declare what God is about to do, but also what God has done and is doing. Prophets declare the truth of the Word of God. And to confirm this word that the prophets preached in the Old Testament, they were often granted the gift of miracles to verify that what they proclaimed was nothing less than divine truth. You might wonder why God didn't just speak to the people directly, why he sent the prophets to proclaim his word to them. It was, as is recorded in the book of Deuteronomy, because sinful man may not see God and live. When they heard the voice of the Lord their God at Horeb, the people of God cried out in fear, "Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, or see this great fire any more, lest I die." And the Lord said to them, to Moses, "They are right in what they have spoken." Man dare not endure the direct, immediate voice of God, for he will be consumed in his iniquity. And so God, in his mercy, sent the prophets to preach. But these prophets who were sent to preach were sinners themselves. And therefore, their prophetic ministry was limited. It lasted but for a while. They too died. Furthermore, even as the prophets preached the truth, many false prophets arose who preached lies, not the word of God, but their own dreams, drawing people away from the truth of the Lord their God. The falsehood, deceit, plunged back into sinful darkness, the people rebelled against God. They rebelled against his prophets. They beat some, they stoned others, and they killed yet others. But of course, this was not a flaw in God's plan, no. For all along, he planned to send one perfect final prophet, one to whom all the prophets of old looked forward. And so, again, in Deuteronomy chapter 18, Moses declares, "I, that is the Lord, will raise up for them a prophet like you, Moses, from among their brothers. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him." In the fullness of time, this prophet came, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, he who is true God, and yet came in the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, true man, from among his people as their brother. Jesus came as that great and final prophet, preaching the word of God and performing miracles just like the prophets of old. And yet he was not exactly like those who had come before him, for they received the word of God, and received the authority to perform miracles from outside of themselves. It was not their own. In fact, it was Jesus himself who gave them the word to proclaim. Peter tells us that the Spirit of Christ was in the prophets of the Old Testament. But Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. He is the eternal Word. He did not receive some authority that he did not already possess eternally. He preached, he performed miracles by his own power, by his own authority, as the divine Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity. And therefore we can say, in the last days, God has spoken to us by his Son. For the only God who is at the Father's side, he has made God known to us. Jesus, our great prophet, made God known to us as he preached the whole counsel of God for our salvation, summed up in that message, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The kingdom of heaven had come in the person of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Or as we heard him read from the prophet Isaiah this evening, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Christ Jesus came preaching, and he preached of himself, specifically of himself as the crucified one. "Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness," Jesus said, "so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." He proclaimed that he was the one who would make purification for our sins and for the sins of the whole world by the shedding of his blood, by his holy, innocent, bitter suffering and death on the cross. Only through the shedding of blood that the remission of sins would be won. And it's only through the preaching of the cross that that forgiveness is distributed. Which is why, after his resurrection, our Lord Jesus continued to preach as the great prophet and continued to preach the same good news of himself crucified, saying on the road to Emmaus to those two disciples, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead." Having made purification for our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And yet he still continues his prophetic work. Jesus Christ is the great prophet forever. For now he preaches through means. He preaches through the apostles, through their words, their written words, which we have in Holy Scripture, divine, inspired, and true. He preaches through the office of the ministry, who are sent to proclaim not themselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. He even proclaims through you, O Christian, as you are filled with all spiritual wisdom and knowledge. And so it is written, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Through your faithful confession of the faith, through the preaching of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments by those who hold the office of the ministry, through the inspired written word of God, Christ Jesus continues his prophetic work. His goal is still the same, your salvation and the salvation of sinners. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. This faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. That word is living and active. It is powerful. It is the same word of power by which he upholds the very universe itself. Behold, he sends out his voice, his mighty voice, He proclaims a word that will accomplish exactly what he purposes and succeeds exactly in the thing for which he intends it. Again, faith in your heart, which clings to him alone for salvation. And as it was said then, so it is today. Scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. For in your hearing, the Holy Spirit works to strengthen and keep you in the one true faith. The word of God still goes forth. Christ Jesus continues his prophetic office. Indeed, he must. For still today, people are being destroyed for lack of knowledge. The God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Still, people today stumble, lost in darkness and in the shadow of death. They do not know God, nor do they worship God. That ignorance leads to eternal condemnation. But Jesus Christ is the light of the world, the light no darkness can overcome. Christ has come to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. And therefore, what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the light. This light is the life of men. What is truth? Jesus is the truth and the way and the life. Abide in his word. Abide in the truth. For if you abide in his word, then you are truly his disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.